thank you for tuning in to the radio ministry of Clearview Church. At Clearview, our focus is making Christ visible and providing an atmosphere of worship and community. Come check us out at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for this week's message by Pastor Abadan Shaw.
This morning, the message called Drifting Allegiance is to help us get back on track and let God finish what He has begun in our lives. The message in a nutshell is this: when we drift away, God doesn't abandon us. The church may abandon you, the pastor may abandon you, your loved ones may abandon you, but God doesn't abandon us. Instead, He comes to us in grace, but lovingly and yet firmly He steers us back. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. You have your Bibles with you. Turn to John chapter 21, a very familiar chapter in the gospel. And you know it the moment we start reading. If you have your Bibles, John 21 verse 15, let's once again stand for the reading of God's word. So when they had eaten breakfast, John 21 is taking place after Jesus has resurrected. He has revealed Himself to His disciples. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Jesus said to him, "Yes, Lord." Peter said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, meaning Jesus said to Peter, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And Peter said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." Third time, he said to him, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" I mean, there's a reason why Jesus is repeating that question. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And this time, Peter was grieved. He was saddened. Because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." The reason Christ came to Peter is because he had drifted away. The question that each of us needs to answer this morning is, have you drifted away? You say, "Oh no, I'm in church. Am I not in church?" You can be in church. You can be teaching Sunday school. You could be worshiping. You can even be preaching this morning, and yet you have drifted away from Christ. It's very subtle. You say, "How do you know I've done it?" You can be doing the things of God and have lost the focus on the Son of God. He is the one we run to. He is the author and our finisher of our faith, but we can be doing the things of God and lose sight of the author, the finisher of our faith. Have you lost your first love? You cannot go back to your first love unless you have first received the love of Christ on the cross. Amen? You cannot go back to something you never had. So the question is, are you saved? If not, today's the day to receive Jesus Christ. Amen. The passage we just read is from John chapter 21. The Gospel of John could have ended in chapter 20, but for some reason, it goes on to chapter 21. Jesus had died on the cross already. Jesus had been buried in the grave already. He rose from the grave. And also, He had come and revealed Himself to the disciples. All that needed to be done had been done. All that needed to be said had been said. All that was left to do really was for Jesus to ascend back to His Father and send the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, to empower the church to go and share the gospel. It's done. It's over. One more thing had to be done. One more person had to be visited. This person needed a one-on-one time with Jesus. Person is, of course,
Simon Peter.
You know, ever since the cross, ever since that night that Jesus was unjustly accused and beaten and mocked, and a crown of thorns was put upon him, since that night, Peter wasn't right. You know what had happened? You know, before Jesus went to the cross, he said, "Look, I'm going to go die for you." And Peter said, "I don't know about the rest of these bozos. I'm going to die with you. I will never deny you." And Jesus said, "Peter, before the night's over, three times you're going to deny me, and then the rooster will crow." And like clockwork, Peter denied him and cussed him out, and the rooster crowed. And the Bible tells us that Peter went out and he wept bitterly. Why did he weep? Those tears were tears of shame. There were tears of guilt. There were tears of embarrassment. There were tears of self-condemnation. How could I have done that? Everybody heard me. And yet I'm the one over there denying Christ. Now, even though Jesus came back to him and revealed himself to him, things were okay, and yet they were not okay. You see, many of y'all this morning, you're back in church, but things are still not okay. I'm talking about between you and God. You're here this morning. God is working in your life, but things are not quite right. There are five things I want to show to you from this passage. Hopefully will help you return back to God. The first thing is the result of drifting. I want you to see what it says in verse 3. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We are going with you also." They went out immediately, got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Now, nothing so far is wrong with what I read. Peter had to eat. The disciples had to eat. Nothing wrong with fishing. Nothing is even wrong with not catching anything that night. How many of y'all have been fishing and caught nothing? So on the surface, nothing is wrong. This is just an ordinary fishing trip. That didn't work out. We'll go again. But then something is said in verse 4. "But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore." Yeah, it was just an ordinary fishing trip that no one caught anything. But then again, it was not an ordinary fishing trip. I believe that night, every fish in the Sea of Galilee was safe. I believe all the angels had snorkelers and fins on, and they were making sure that not a single fish would get into Peter's net. I mean, this is just me, my version. You say, why do you say that? Because there's a reason. Peter had drifted away. He was still not right. And Jesus wanted him to remember what he had taught them back in John 15:5, which is, "Without me you can do nothing." The act was not wrong. The attitude was wrong. "I'm going fishing. I got to get away." And that night, they caught nothing. I want to give you a statement that I want you to remember. A drifting life is a fruitless life. It doesn't mean that you will not get a promotion. It doesn't mean that you may not find someone to love and marry and have children and buy a house and buy a boat and have a good vacation. It does not mean that when you are drifting away from God, boy, it's been a sorry existence. Nothing is working out. It may, but not necessarily. But what is happening is this: no matter how good things may be, you still come up empty-handed. There have been times that I have preached a solid message, people responded, you could see God working, and yet I walked away to my truck empty. The question this morning is for all of us: is that you today? Are you that person that in the world's perspective, it seems like everything is just fine, and yet you keep coming empty-handed? Somebody said it. And it's beautifully said. They said, when you drift away from God, you will fail miserably, or you will succeed even more miserably. So what happens? The result of drifting, here comes the response of the Savior. What does Jesus do? Listen to verse 6. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. Now, I am no expert fisherman, but I can tell you this much, that if you are in the water, whether you drop the net on the right or the left side of the boat, either way, you're going to catch some fish, if the fish are going to get caught. This was not a question of direction. That, don't you think Peter and the disciples had dumped the net on the right side already? It was not the location. You're on water. The boats turn around. Do you think the fish go, oh, that's the right side of the boat. Hey, guys, let's get this way. Now, something else is happening. What Jesus is teaching them is this: without me, you can do nothing. It's not the action. I have to give the command. So you can read the story on the surface, or you can get below the surface and you get the real meaning. Something deep, spiritual is happening. Now, what happens? So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Now, if I were Jesus, y'all hear me say that before? If I were Jesus, what I would have done is given them 2 fish each. That's all you guys deserve. So there's 8 guys in there, 16 fish. For good measure, I'll throw in 4 more, 20 fish that night. They have to haul the catch because there's so much. What does that tell you? Thank God I'm not Jesus, and neither are you. He doesn't give us what we deserve. He gives us more than we ever can handle. That's His grace. When you and I drift away, God doesn't say, well, right now it's tit for tat, buddy. You're walking the thin line, so you're not going to get... See, that's why when people walk away from God and good things keep happening, they go, well, I guess it works. It's not working. It is the grace of God where He doesn't discard us, but He comes to pour more grace upon us. Some of y'all are thinking, well, I've been so bad. I don't deserve that grace. Listen to what Paul said in Romans 8:33. He said, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Even if you're the one doing the charging, if you're the one saying, I'm so bad right now, preacher, I've drifted away from God. I'm just so... God's going to have to do some work on me. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is He who condemns? Even if you try to condemn yourself, God says, I won't let you. This is why it's amazing grace. It blows my mind, why doesn't the whole world want to get saved? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is all risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So even while I'm drifting away, there are 2 individuals praying for me. One is the Holy Spirit, another is Jesus Christ. The church may stop praying for you. Your Sunday school class may start praying for you. Your Bible study group may cut you out because you're drifting away. But Jesus and the Holy Spirit don't leave you. So the result of drifting is a fruitless life. The response of the Savior, amazing grace. But now here comes the response of the drifter. Listen to verse 7. What happens? Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter. This is John, the one writing the gospel. He says to Peter, it is the Lord. Because Peter could not recognize him. You know, when you veer off, when you drift away from God, it is hard to recognize that it is God who is calling you back. That person you ran into the grocery store is God who is trying to bring you back. That song that just happened to show up on the radio and you're hearing, you go, it is God. It is hard to recognize that when you walk in this church and people shook your hand and smiled at you, it is Christ shaking your hand and smiling at you. And I happen to come by your Facebook and like your stupid post. It is not me. It is God who is helping me to like your post so you'll get back to church. Your post is not stupid, folks. It was great. It was wonderful. What I'm saying this morning is everything is done to bring you back to God. Amen. But you see, when you drift away from God, it is hard to see how Jesus is finding ways to get to you. But I want you to see how Peter responded. It is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it. And what did he do? He plunged into the sea. Wow. Look, there's a reason why Peter was Peter. There's a reason why Jesus had him in his inner circle. There's a reason why Jesus said, Peter, you're the rock on which I will build my church. Now, people have tried to reinterpret that, but it is exactly what the text says. Peter, you're the one to lead them. Peter did not sit back and say, well, you know, I'm going to think about that now. Well, I'll tell you what, Pastor Shaw, he was on fire today. I mean, he was just going. He was just going. That was good. No. He didn't sit back and wait and debate and deliberate or procrastinate. He jumped in. What needs to happen this morning is many of y'all need to jump in. Because Satan keeps telling you, oh, no, you know you can't right now because you messed up. Remember, you promised, Pastor Shaw, don't worry about what you promised me or anybody else. Jump in. If Jesus is calling you, jump in. There's a verse in the Bible that has really spoken to me is Hosea chapter 6, verse 1. It says, come and let us return to the Lord. For he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. Some of y'all remember when your kids were little, or still probably do, when they would try to do something that was bad for them, like stick their finger in the electric socket or try to pull a vase off the table, and you would tell them, don't do that. And they go right back to it. Then you had to do something. So you would take your hand and you would pop their hand. You're not trying to hurt them. You're just trying to remind them this will hurt you. What did your children do? I'll tell you what my children did, what our children did. Well, one of them didn't do that. What three of them did is when we did that, they would come running to us and they would hug us and cry. Y'all remember that? It's really odd because you're popping their hand, it hurts, so they should run from you, but they actually run to you and they hug on to you and they cry. Like you broke their heart. Why did they come back to you? Same way Peter went back to Jesus. He knew Jesus had some words for him. Ran to him. What many of us need to do is know that he will discipline us, but run to him, cling to him. Don't walk away from him. Run to him. So the response of the drifter, immediately Peter plunges in and goes to Christ. But I want you to see, number four is the restoration by the Savior. What happens next? Well, Peter gets to the shore, and later the rest of the disciples also make their way to the shore. Now listen to the sight as they're coming to the shore. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. Now folks, y'all who fish, I don't know why it is, but every time you get on the water or get near water, you get hungry. I mean, I don't know why, but my boys, they know, they learn after the first couple of times, take a lot of candy, take anything you can because dad's going to be out there. He's not leaving for another 3-4 hours. Take some food. What is so beautiful to me is Jesus is not waiting by the shore to beat him, but he's waiting there with the breakfast. What really needs to happen to some of us who have been trained and have been discipled the wrong way, I wish somehow the Holy Spirit could just erase all the junk that you have learned and reteach you the truth of God, that when you come back to him, he doesn't take you to the woodshed. He is waiting with breakfast. I don't get it, folks. I would not have. That's why I'm not God. Neither are you. Sometimes the church is the one that waits with the paddle. Sometimes the preacher is the one who waits with a paddle, but not God. And listen to what he does. He said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Now, they didn't catch anything. It's Jesus who helped them catch the fish. But he said, bring what you got too. Now, if you were here last year, you heard the message I preached on the miracles of Christ. And I explained to you that the reason they had such a big catch, Bible even tells us they caught 153 fish. This was a lesson. This was a sign to them. You remember when Jesus called Peter and Andrew, James and John? What did he tell them? He told them, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. The reason Jesus gave them this big catch is to tell them, guys, listen. I want you to go out and catch not just one or two fish, but through me, catch a multitude. God is blessing us. You know, we have a new building going, this and that happening. My heart's desire is not to reach one or two people. To live a whole life and spend all that money. Oh, we got four baptisms this year. I mean, what is that? We should be reaching multitudes. Fields are wide unto harvest. And every church should be reaching multitudes. That's a great need in America. That every church, if you ask me this morning, are you glad Clearview is growing? My prayer is that every church will be filled and overflowing. If every church in this town would be filled and overflowing, we'll still have lostness down the street. Now listen to the conversation that takes place between Peter and Jesus. Three times Jesus asked him that question, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Why did Jesus do that? Because when it's time to come back to God, it's not fear that draws us back to God. It is fear that brings us to salvation, but it's not fear that brings it back to God. It is love. Love is the answer. Do you love me? This is not some 20th, 21st century psychobabble. Like, do you love me? 2,000 years ago, Jesus asked that question, do you love me? Do you love me? Am I the first and foremost in your life, Peter? Do you want to spend time with me, Peter? Do you want to listen to my voice? Do you want to talk to me, Peter? If I were to say, oh, I love my wife, but I don't have any time for her. I don't want to see her. I don't want to talk to her. That's why every week, Monday, we spend time together. Because the rest of the week, I mean, I'm working and she's working. We're going full force. And weekends are our busiest days. We spend time because if I love her, love is spelled T-I-M-E. Same question for you. Do you love Jesus? And yet you have no time for his word? When was the last time you actually saw his face? Oh, I pray while I'm going here. I pray when I eat. That's it. I see Nicole too when I eat. Doesn't mean I love her. Then feed my sheep, feed my lambs. The restoration happens. I believe right this moment, God is restoring some of you. He's bringing you back. He's asking you that question, do you really love Christ? Then spend time with him. Then seek him. Then love him and put him first in your life. Let everything else come through Christ. But lastly, I want you to see the relapse of the drifter. In verse 18, Jesus tells Peter how he will be martyred for the gospel. That's a big deal, isn't it? If right this moment Jesus were to come sit next to you and say, let me tell you how you're going to die. This is how you're going to die for me. I mean, I don't know if he came to me and said that, I'd be like, whew, can I sit for a moment? I mean, I'm glad. I'm going to die for you, and I'm so excited you've chosen me to die for you. And give me a few minutes. I need to process this. But listen to Peter's response, verse 20. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following. Who is this? This is the one who also had leaned on his breast at the supper and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" This is John. John the apostle standing nearby. Listen to Peter's response. Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" On Christmas morning, isn't that funny to watch your kids, if you have more than one, and you give them the gift, and you're so glad to see them happy, and they're opening, they're like, "Thank you, Mom, Dad." And then you give another gift to another child. What do they do at that moment? They want to know, did you spend more money on them? Did you give them a better gift? Will that be more fun? Peter is doing the same thing. You know what Peter is really asking? Jesus, thank you so much that I'm going to die for you. But just want to make sure, how is John going to die? Will he have a more glorious death? Because I would rather him get hit by a camel or something like that. "I will burn for you, chop my head off." But John, he got run over by a camel. Okay, that's okay then. I'm going to give you a statement, and I hope you'll remember this. Old habits and old sins don't die easily. Whatever you struggled with when you were 20, I guarantee you're struggling with them today, and you will struggle with them 40 years from now. If you struggle with envy, that is still your problem and will be. If you struggle with lust, it's still your problem, will be. Struggle with pride, insecurity, it will be your struggle till the day you leave this world. All that happens is now you learn how to quickly deal with it through the grace of God. Why did Peter get in trouble the first time? Because when Jesus said, "I'm going to die," he said, "I don't know about these guys, I got your back." But it was about, "I don't know about these guys." He is doing the same thing again. How about this man? Now listen to Jesus' response. Sounds like a parent. Jesus said to him, "If I will," have you said that to your kids? "It doesn't matter what I gave him. If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Stop comparing. Stop wondering how come he gets to do this and how come he seems happier and how come he gets to preach and he gets to teach and he gets to sing. You follow me. We get into so much trouble when we start comparing. That's why daily we need the grace of God. You know, in my personal life, I have drifted. I told you, I've drifted even while I was preaching and the church was growing. It's the saddest thing that you lose sight of Christ while doing the work of Christ. And God had to lovingly and yet firmly steer me back. And I believe this morning He is doing the same to you. Have you lost your first love? Have you lost sight of Jesus Christ?
Thank you so much for joining us for this message. From time to time, we might drift away from God or lose sight of Him working in our lives. But it's in those moments that He meets us where we are and shows us grace in restoring our relationship with Him. Have you drifted away from God? Turn back to Him today. He's waiting with open arms. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for this sermon's notes, check out Pastor Shaw's blog at abadanshaw.com.